at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're going to be talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue today that I believe we each and every one of us need to grasp. It's a text that multitudes have read, multitudes have talked about, looked at, analyzed, but I think it deserves a little deeper digging and understanding of what the text is really saying to us today. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, as he's wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus makes a statement that I think is probably the most frightening words Jesus has ever spoken. Words, I believe, in all the scripture, where Jesus says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We're going to talk about that unit of thought today and how it is so applicable to the society in which we're living in. Multitudes of people, I believe, think they're saved today, confused about salvation, what salvation is and what salvation is not. So let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book, John 8, 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God: "Thy Word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So we have to ask the question, how long is forever? It's forever. And I'm thankful that we can depend on the truth of the Word of God. However, there are folks today fall into the category that I call the Orwellian category. George Orwell was a secularist. In his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell made this statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're finding that today. In theological circles, biblical doctrinal circles, in political circles, you'll find that if you speak the truth, there'll be those that will despise you, hate you, disagree with you. In fact, in the 3rd chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, "Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have multitudes today that get upset and angry and absolutely venomous as a result of the truth being spoken in relationship to where they are. In fact, I'm concerned about a survey of about a year ago. In the survey, it says most younger Americans say that there's no absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, where do we go for truth? In fact, that same age group, ladies and gentlemen, make the statement, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." I believe we need to go back to the centrality of the Word of God, the focus of what God's Word says. As I've said for less than 100 years now, God's Word gives us what He has done, what He is doing, what He shall do. If we want to know what God will have for our lives, go back to the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. I'm concerned when we understand that we're losing truth today. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Another headline says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to truth, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my mantra. That's my challenge. That's my argument. That's my defense each and every day, that we need to go back to the truth of what the Word of God says. And ladies and gentlemen, let me make a very brief transition and nexus to the point at hand today. There needs to be an understanding from the Word of God, the truth of what biblical salvation is and what it isn't. How does a person get saved, and what makes the difference in an individual's destiny? It's the choice that's made while alive and well. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how did I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes today are confused about salvation. Some believe that just being a good person is okay. Some say doing the right things, always being kind, always loving your family, doing good enough things to please and appease God. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, some say that we must live by the Ten Commandments. I never will forget talking with a young man a number of years ago. He said, we get saved by grace, but we stay saved by keeping up with the commandments. Now, there's a faulty flaw in that statement in relationship to how a person thinks he's saved. How does a person prepare to go to that place called heaven? You see, ladies and gentlemen, one life to live. And when that life is over, the destiny has already been determined by your volitional choice. The choice makes the difference in the destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, there are millions of good people today that I believe think that they're going to heaven. They're church members, always going to church, always giving the tithe, faithful in what seems to be the thing to do. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to warrant eternal life. There is a need to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's what we're going to be talking about today, and I pray that you'll join that discussion. Right after our brief continuing monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you would like to ask a question about your particular denomination, what your denomination teaches, what you believe is taught through the denomination that is claimed to be biblical truth for salvation. Love to entertain your questions, comments today, especially in relationship to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, where Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, some people interpret that saying that a person can lose his salvation. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Is that what he's saying? Is that the context of what he's saying? How should we interpret it? What should we believe about Jesus' statement, depart from me, I never knew you? Now, before we get into the meat of the subject, we're going to introduce those around our round table today as we talk about this subject, I never knew you. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. Dr. Phelps, if you would, take a few moments of introducing yourself and the thought, and why is it important for those that are listening today? Why is it important for them to be able to determine what is biblical salvation and decide what does the Bible say about how you're saved? Is that important? Why is it important in the current era that we're living in? So speak to that for a moment before we get into the text.
Jesus talked a lot about being prepared for heaven. And I'm so thankful that we have the truth in the scriptures. Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 14. He was talking with the disciples about how he had to go away from them, that is to leave them and go back into heaven where he came from and be exalted there at the right hand of God. Now, the disciples didn't understand that. And I think it's true of many today in our religious world that too many did not understand where Jesus is, what he's doing, and the plan of God for things to come. But we need to understand that Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
Jesus is coming back like he promised. And many of the teachings that we read about in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is about being ready when he comes. We need to be ready for his coming. We need to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus and know that when he comes, that we're going to be right in his eyes, not in our own eyes.
So you're saying that it's important for our listeners to be able to do a little introspective question, say, am I saved? How do I know that I'm saved? And what does the Bible say about it? I believe one of the greatest things that is needed today in the world in which we're living in is for a person to be able to ascertain, am I saved? But most will live a life of going and doing and being and trying to climb the ladder of success and never give thought to, what about tomorrow? What if I don't wake up in the morning? Where will I spend eternity? And Dr. Davis, as we talk about that, what are your thoughts in relationship to what I call the woke Christianity today? Franklin Graham calls it progressive Christianity, where they're embracing the LGBTQ, embracing the DEI, embracing abortion, embracing transgenderism, and yet claiming to be saved. What are your thoughts in relationship to the seriousness and the necessity for our listeners today to ascertain what is biblical Christianity and how does a person know that we're saved? Are those things important? Talk for a moment about your thoughts in that realm.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, my heart bleeds today, basically because in spite of all, we have not come into the unity of the faith. And let me say good morning to my bride of 40 years. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for you. Love you. Amen. On today and all my family and friends. Amen. But let's make sure that we understand the most important aspect about the whole thing is believing. Just that one word. And you notice I put ING on there.
Believing.
That means it's continuous. It's never supposed to stop or end.
Amen.
We need to be believing in God and in his word and come into the unity of the knowledge of that. Until we do that, Dr. Youngblood, and I say my heart bleed, and I say that for a reason. Because even in 2026 today, all of the Jews still don't believe. That's God's own people. They still don't believe. You have Orthodox Jews that say Christ has never come. And then you got another group over there that says that he has. Likewise, we have those in the Christian faith, let me put it that way if I can even put it in that category, that believe all type of things. A lot of stuff is based upon tradition, and a lot of it is dogma, which dogma is good in certain ways. I mean, there's, like you always say, you have to eat the meat, pick the meat out and throw the bones away. But woke Christianity, and it's sad to say, are based upon works of the flesh.
That's right.
Worldly things. They think that they are Christian, but we have to understand Christianity demands or commands. We could put it either way, a change.
That's right.
There has to be a change of heart, a change of character, and a change of the entire person from the inside out. Mm-hmm. I don't have to walk around with a sign on my back to convince you that I'm a Christian, because this book tells me you will know them by their works. Mm-hmm. So when we look at progressive Christianity, and I believe that has to be that group of people that believes in the Word of God and are trusting in God and are interested in nothing but enforcing the Word of God in every area of life so that society can be better for us today. If we can just come together once again as believers in God and say the same thing, believe the same thing, do the same thing. It doesn't matter if your skin is black or white. Mm-hmm. We got to come together.
That's right.
And when we do that, then of course the will of God will be done. But until that time, we're going to continue to see these repercussions in society where this woke Christianity, the woke culture, et cetera, is trying to still do what they want to do and justify it by saying, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And some say, you don't know what kind of fun you're missing out on. You know, you're living according to the Old Testament. We don't have to live that way anymore. My friend, there are 66 books here, and all of it is the Word of God.
That's right, man.
So we got to live by the whole thing.
So what I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there must be a coming together with the unity of the faith based on thus saith the Word of God.
Amen.
Not based on dogma, not based on tradition, not based on 10 Hail Mary, not based on some incense machine or smoke machine or the rock and roll music or the feeling, but based on fact of relationship to the Lord. We're going to get into that in just a moment, and I believe that it's necessary for us to see exactly what the Scripture is saying, because in Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through 23, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're seated, pick up your Bible. Go through this with us. If you're driving, just listen. but I want us to understand God's Word with the Lord Jesus Christ himself going through the details of the two ways, the two choices, the two fruits, the two teachers, the two destinies, as I call it in this text. And time won't allow us to get into the real depth of it. But we want to look at it and understand what the Bible really says about the need to enter in at the right gate. The right gate. I believe Santiago's on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. John Blood. I told you guys the only way we can reach in the rapture is if you confess that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and he's going to confess in front of the angel or in front of God that we are the Son of God, and we need to share the love that Christ gives us. That's one of the most important, that we must share the love that he did through Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Amen. Santiago, you're exactly right. It is saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, knowing him as Lord and Savior. And that is absolutely factual. But one of the things, Dr. Phelps, we want to make sure that our listeners understand is that in the life in which we're living now, we have a choice. Dr. Phelps, if you would start us off by reading that unit of thought in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through verse 23. It's a long unit of thought, but we're going to abbreviate much of what we say today in that and hit the high points so that, ladies and gentlemen, we can have some facts and details on what Jesus himself said in the final message that he was teaching, as we call it, the Sermon on the Mount. Dr. Phelps, read that for us.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 17,
Go back to 13 to 23.
Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said again, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly their ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity.
Dr. Phelps, in that text, that final verse that you read, where Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I've considered that for years in preaching and teaching the word as the saddest words in all the Bible, where Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. So as we start with that premise, that there are some that Jesus will reject, some that the Lord Jesus will say, the door's closed, you can't enter into heaven. Some that Jesus will say, I never knew you. So I want us to look at this text today, ladies and gentlemen, verses 13 through verse 23 in Matthew 7, and ask the question, who is Jesus talking to? Why is Jesus saying, depart from me, I never knew you? What does it mean, depart from me, I never knew you? What does that connote? What does it indicate? Because, ladies and gentlemen, at the earlier portion of this unit of thought in verse 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus sets up the summary statement as to what is needed for a person to be saved. And part of that salvation, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I've called verse 13 and 14 the two choices, the sure choice that is recorded there. The Lord Jesus points out that there's a need to choose, and the two choices Dr. Davis, Jesus sets aside and points out are found in verse 13 and 14. Read those two verses, Dr. Davis, and then let's talk about them.
Okay. Verse 13, and that's not just a suggestion.
That's right.
Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's a commandment.
It's a directive, right.
He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because, verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, he's commanding the believers. I have to believe that. If you read this Bible and come to the knowledge of who the Son of God is and who God the Father is and God the Holy Spirit, and you believe in this word, then he's commanding you, because you have to make a choice every day.
That's right.
When you wake up out of your bed and your feet hit the floor, there are choices that have to be made, and choices carry consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So he is explaining to you, if you choose the straight gate. Now let me say this too, aside from that. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's more than what you can say with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why a lot of things don't get done, and the requirements coming through the word of God are never met by individuals, because they are saying a lot with their mouth, but again, they don't have a life to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
There are no fruit. Like yes. The scripture is saying.
Let's pause a moment and ponder, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps. What does it mean, straight gate? Is it like a straight line? What does it mean? What is a straight gate, Dr. Phelps?
Well, in the scriptures, words like that are used to talk about a path, mm-hmm, that you take, a direction that you go. So that the straight gate is a way, only it's the only path to life everlasting.
Yes, and one of the things that, as I've made a note for so many years on that term, straight gate, enter ye into in at the straight gate means narrow. It is confining. It is difficult. It is discipline that's needed. It takes a commitment to enter into that straight gate.
And
straight,
then, and
narrow,
then,
literally indicating it is not easy to enter into that gate.
And then let me throw in there also, Dr. Youngblood, in that narrow way, a lot of times, there's no room to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room to turn around. When you get into something narrow, I've been in some narrow places where my arms are right beside my body, and when I try to turn, I can't turn.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what this is saying. When you look at the narrow gate, this telling me this there's only one way if you want to find eternal life. One way. It's narrow. It's confining. It's constricting. As you said, this is the word of God. When we look at the word, he doesn't confine you and take your freedom away from you. But you have to understand, if you're going to walk in that way, you have to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. One of the things is we think about that straight, narrow, as you use the term, confining gate, is that that is the requirement to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when we come to woke progressive Christianity, the opposite is found. Multitudes want to go the easy way, the broad way, where, as you said, is not confining, not restrictive, but easy to enter, easy to do, easy. Well, let's just make a transition. Easy believism, that if I'm a good person, it's okay. If I do what I think is right, it's okay. If I don't cuss the dog, kick the cat, and beat my wife, I'm okay. If I pay my bills, I'm all right. If I go to church Christmas and Easter, that's okay. And there are multitudes that are listening today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that because you say, I love God, I recognize God, I know that there is a God, and you are a good person, somehow you think that's okay. But that is not the gate that Jesus is talking about. The gate that Jesus is talking about is restrictive, it's narrow, and is not easy. It is has serious requirements. I believe Brother Davis is on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, brethren. It's good that we're talking about this, and I may be off, and I will be stated correction if it's so, but I believe where we're in a stage right now, we are reflecting the early churches during the Bible days when the apostles and all of them was there, because I believe the scripture says they were first called Christians at Antioch, and that was because
13,
of their
right.
lifestyle falling so close to what Jesus had told them to do. And that's the problem with our churches today. There's some that they're playing that game of church or Christianity or whatever. And I don't believe you really can be considered, you have to be a Christian to be saved, because that's your lifestyle. And I'll give an example. The thief on the cross never had an example, a time to show an exemplary life of being a Christian. And I believe in deathbed repentance. The man that can be a bad criminal or whatever all day, his life, and then on his deathbed accept Christ as his Savior. And we are all just sinners saved by grace.
Amen. You're exactly right. The thief on the cross didn't have a chance to be a Baptist. He didn't have a chance to tithe. He didn't have a chance to go to Sunday school or worship service or memorize the Ten Commandments. But Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He entered that straight gate, that
Amen.
Narrow gate, the restriction of believing and repenting and saying yes to Jesus.
Amen.
That's what he did.
Amen.
Brother Davis, our time is up for the top of the hour news, but we're thankful for you. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM.